higher and higher. And before you know it...
DB that's gonna rock us on DC 101.
And a good time when the grease man is away to look back at all his careers, whether they be a lawman, a member of the village people, or...
I remember when I used to be a medical man. My specialty, OBGYN. Every day I'd walk into the office, throw my arms skyward, and scream, "These hands have been touched by God!" Other guys joke saying, "Hey, that's my kind of doctor in me." But let me tell you, it's not all it's cracked up to be, so to speak. Yeah, you talk about another stinking Monday. I mean, ooh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly. Generally, you know, you come in with this. You're dealing with Mrs. Arch and Curtis. You're dealing with this, 78 years old. I remember the best day of my life in that whole career. I was in the office, adjusting the valve on my gas mask, when my receptionist, Miss Hotchkiss, said, "You'll never believe it, Dr. Grease Minnelli. You know who's out in the lobby waiting for an emergency appointment?" I said, "Who?" She said, "Linda Evans." I said, "Linda Evans? You mean like the dynasty?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Send her in, send her in." She said, "But she's a fortune on the pay." I said, "Let her wait." So in walked Linda Evans. She said, "Oh, doctor, thank you for taking us on such short notice. We were in town shooting a special series for tonight. I see about something. I experienced some cramping and some spotting." I said, "Don't worry, little darling. Don't worry. Why don't you just climb in the stirrups here and take a little look-see?" I said, "All right, now scoot down, scoot down, scoot down. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. John Derrick was a fool. A fool to have let you go." She said, "Doctor, can we get on with the examination?" I said, "Certainly, miss. All right, let's see here." She said, "Isn't it customary to wear a glove, doctor?" I said, "Yeah, we're both professionals. I think we can dispense with the formalities." And so, I said, "I can't quite get it with the right hand. Let me see, maybe the left. Ah, here we are. Oh, a buildup of prostaglandins here. Did you have a big date last night? None of my business anyway. Let me see here. Oh, yes. Oh, just a little, I think it's a non-specific urethritis. No problem. Let me get you a little tetracycline here. And, would you mind, ma'am, if we took a picture together?" She said, "Not at all." I said, "Miss Hotchkiss, get in here, please. Here, take this Polaroid and get our picture. Here, do you mind if I get between your knees? Here we are. Okay, geez. Oh, thank you very much, Linda. Thank you very much." She said, "Doctor, what do I say?" "Hey, it's on me, on me. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. And tell Joan Collins if she's ever in town, she needs a quick once-over, have her stop by. All right, here. See ya, bye-bye." I said, "Nurse Hotchkiss, I'm going to take a break now. I'm going to take an early lunch. I'll be back." And so I went down to the cafeteria. A couple of the other doctors passing by saw me sitting alone at my lunch table, big smile on my face. One of them remarked to the other, "I've never known Dr. Grease Minnelli to bite his nails before."
Tuesday. The living hell of torment. The tempestuous relationship with Estelle. First married. I was in college at the time, and it was the happening thing back in those days to have like encounter groups. And
instead of sitting at our desk, the teacher would move all the chairs in a circle, you know? It was back in the love days. And as one professor made us all say what it was we loved about the special person in our life. And the girls are getting up saying, well, I love Cindy because of the way he holds me in the clothes and he's always so considerate and he puts my, you know, that kind of stuff. It came to my turn, so I stood up. I said, well, I'm recently married. My wife's name is Estelle, and I think what I love about her is her unpredictability. I never know what's going to happen when I come through the door at night, and she's always game to try new things, and well, frankly, it's that fascination, that unexpected, that adds spice to our... And as I'm talking, I look out the window, and I see her pulling up in the car to pick me up. Class was almost over. So I said, and as a matter of fact, there she is now. And everybody got up and went over to the window, and Estelle got out of the car. She paused on the curb, leaned over, and blew her nose, sans handkerchief, into the gutter. Needless to say, the class, who had all been standing there at the window looking at it, reacted with various screams of nausea. The girls all, you know, like blanched and ran away from the window, covering their mouths. It's funny now, but believe me, at the time it was not funny. The guys are all going, gee, Rose, that's your wife? That hog is yours? And, you know, Ness is still wiping her nose on her coat sleeve as she's walking down the street to come. Pulling her dress out of the crack of her behind, you know. And there's everybody standing there. I wanted to die. You know, I just ideally just leapt out of the window, landing on my head on the concrete. I just could not face anybody. Fortunately, the teacher defused it. You know, the class was seated. The teacher said, talk about a grand entrance, huh? Yeah. I said, you know, I really am embarrassed. She's not normally like that. It's just that, I don't know. It's just the story of my life, you know? Story of my life. If it was rain and soup, I'd be outside with a fork, you know? Well, everybody finally settled down and... came up and the teacher saw her outside the class waiting for the class to end. He motioned her in the room. And I explained to her, you know, and everybody got a big kick out of it then. I said, Estelle, you know, everybody was looking out the window when you blew your nose in the street like that. And to be quite honest, Estelle, that was the most hideous thing I've ever seen you do. I thought you've done some gross there, but that is grosser than growth. You know what I can't understand, Estelle? For your last birthday, I bought you a set of monogrammed hankies. Your initials on them, beautiful, nice hankies, and I told you to carry one with you at all times. She said, well, I always do. I said, well, why didn't you use it then? She said, I can't. My monthlies kicked in on the way over here.
There's more of the best of Grease coming up on DC 101.
Sunbathing in Ocean City. He was lying there in his bathing suit. Hell, I grabbed two sticks and ran over and started playing his rib cage like a xylophone. The guy just wouldn't cut it in the world of brutality.
Time to wonder what it must be like. Just drop on a gun and pin on a badge and become a lover. Squad car. You found a nice quiet place to park. You're sitting there belching up the Bavarian creams you had for breakfast. Sipping a cup of coffee. Watching the maggots go on their way to work when suddenly your radio crackles up. 189, this is HQ. You hear the stinking voice of your sergeant. Say, Roger, 189. He says, just because it's cold and windy out there doesn't mean you still can't write your tickets. I want 10 tickets by noon. You hear me? 10 by noon. Say, Roger, 189 clear. You're thinking to yourself, why do they gotta bust my chops? Why do they gotta bust my chops? So sure enough, it's not hard to find speeders. I mean, nobody drives 55. You turn on the radar gun and bam, you got a Camaro. You pull the maggot over. You open the door of that squad car and like, So then you get an idea. You turn on your loudspeaker in the squad car and you say, attention, attention, you in the Camaro.
Approach the police vehicle. Approach the police vehicle.
You figure somebody's gonna freeze his behind. It ain't gonna be you. It's gonna be that three-piece suit-wearing, briefcase-carrying Megadeth. Walking back, he's just in his suit jacket. He's standing at the window of your squad car. You roll down the window, you say, "All right, buddy, why'd you explain to me why you were going 90 miles an hour anyway?" And you listen to his stinking story as he stands there shivering. You take your time, you pop your gum as you look at him standing there. Finally say, "All right, let me see your driver's license and your registration." By now the guy's lips are blue, his hands are trembling. He reaches into his pocket to take it out. He opens his wallet and sure enough, the wind catches his registration. It goes whipping down the highway. His driver's license goes whipping down the highway. His credit cards go whipping down the highway. You say, "Where's your driver's?" He said, "Well, I had it, but you had it, but you don't have it. Why do you have it? You don't have it." I did it. You say, "Let me tell you something, you maggot. I'm arresting you for not having a driver's license, failure to prove ownership of the vehicle. Get in the back of this squad car." You take him downtown and say, "Wipe the icicles off this maggot, and then book him."
It's the Best of Greaseman show on a Saturday morning at DC 101.
If you're tired.
Head down to the good ship Grease. Climb aboard there. And I'll stand there, waiting for the noise that makes my jeans fit tight. I'll turn those keys and fire the life twin 671 TI turbo diesel. Listen to this. It's an interesting phenomenon that's never really been written about. And I may write an article about it and send it into Boating Magazine. That the size of a man's waistline is directly proportionate to the size of the boat he's got. Try anchoring up sometime in a busy harbor in Annapolis, or better yet, if you can ever boat in Florida, right along the intercoastal waterway on a hot summer day when everybody's got their canvas down. And look at the guys driving the boats. Now, the guys in a little 18-foot ski nautique, you know, they got like 28-inch waistlines. They're skiing, they're zipping back and forth. You get up to the guy in the 28-foot Bayliner. Now, he's already starting to show that paunch. He's got a wife with distended tatas and a couple of nasty-looking kids. Now, you look up into the guy that's in the 40-foot sport fisherman. Now, he has got a gut on him. He usually wears some baggy shorts and his huge gut hanging out with a can of beer and a baseball cap on. Nasty-ass gut. Then you look at the guy that's in the 60-foot Broward. Not only does he have a gut, he got emphysema, too. He's always leaning on the side going... Bah! And a guy that's got the 90-footer, that 90-foot Bertram... He's got a ramp, you know, so he can get on and off with his wheelchair. Well, I decided to break that trend. You see, why should I wait until I'm an old geezer to have the dream boat? You see, people always say to me, "Grease, my God, how much did you pay for it? $241,000 you pay for it?" I said, "Wait a minute." They said, "Now, you wait a minute. If you took that $241 and you put it in a bank, they can accrue interest or some bonds so that when you're 60 years old, you know, by the time the accrued interest, you'll be able to live, you know, with the money, just you'll be able to keep your principal and you'll be able to live." I said, "Yeah, screw the principal. You can't put principal on plane, can you? You see, that's the thing. People, they wait too long until their cardiac can't. They can't even climb to the fly bridge for fear of going into cardiac red, you know? Ventricular fibrillation just untying the lines. Now, I wanted to be young, bold, extra bulky. That's why I have the good ship Grease, yeah. So when I finally have kids, and they're standing on the dock watching me blast off with my honey, I'll say, "Hey, kids! Here goes your college education!" Yeah, buddy! I ain't gonna use it as an old age home like those old geezers down in Lauderdale. I'm gonna live on it. When I show up in my massive cruiser, everybody looks to see the beer belly slob, and there I am. Bold, proud, bulky. Cuts you can stick $5 bills in there. Yeah! And when my time is up...
fighting. You know, he's not getting Alzheimer's disease setting in. You know, when I say to my honey, hey, honey, great, let's get on the boat. We'll watch it. I got a tape of The Godfather.
And she says, we watched that last night. Oh.
I show up at the marina. My boat's been stolen. My boat's been stolen. I love the ride.
Your slip is 42A, which is the next dock. Oh.
What else starts happening? That's when I'll call up all the people I hate. For a 4th of July celebration. I'll say, come on board and see the fireworks. I mean, if you have a boat, but it's 4th of July, I mean, every swinging rich in the world wants to come out with you to watch the fireworks. So everybody who I hate, I'm going to invite with me. Come and see the fireworks. Then about 9 o'clock at night, then it's good and dark. I'll say, well, y'all ready for the fireworks? They'll all be peering out the windows. That's when I'll get that big 15-gallon can of gasoline. Pour it all over the carpet. Everybody be wondering, what the hell are you doing? As I take a final drag on that camel, I say, you ready for fireworks? I got your fireworks! Of course, it'll probably hurt the resale value of the boat a little bit.
The Best of Greaseman Show rocks on DC.
Saturday, I mean, it was unbelievable, but on... Sunday was a little cooler, but it was still sunbathing weather. Of course, I was careful. I had the block on. I had Mega Block. I found some 22, and I wore that. And I lathered up and took it in limited doses. Steve, I see you're completely sunburned.
Buddy, yeah. Don't I have a nice tan here going, huh?
That's a prelude to disease, what you have.
Oh, come on.
Admittedly, it looks attractive.
Go ahead, say it looks dash.
All right, it looks dash, but let me tell you something. How old are you?
I'm 20.
All right, you're 20 years old, and you've brutalized your skin. You probably do it every summer. Do you realize that when you're... Let me see. You know what that is starting to form there on your left temple?
Where?
Right over here on your left, just above your eye. You know what this is called? Basal cell. Have you ever heard that term before?
Not really.
Basal cell.
Basal cell.
All right. Can we say basal? Can we say cancer?
Cancer.
That is a precancerous condition, what you have there. And you're going to lie there summer after summer. You probably don't wear... I bet you wear the stuff that says danger. This contains no papa, no sunblock. This will heighten your tan, right?
I shower in it.
Yeah, really?
Bottles of it.
And you see this over here on the tip of your... Take your shirt off.
Okay.
I'm a medical mess. Strip down to your skivvies. Let me check you. I bet you probably got cancer cooking.
Hold this.
Strip down. Just throw it on the chair. I'm not holding your trousers.
Sorry.
I think I am. You're a valet. You hold my trousers. All right, let me check your back here. You know, this is where men...
Where, here?
Yeah, on your back. See, on your shoulder? That's what always gets sunburned year after year. You know what you got starting here? Squamous cell.
What's a squamous cell? Is that Indian or something?
No, it's the same. You know, you got the three different types of skin cancers. You have what you have over your eyebrows, the start of a basal cell. I bet you if I were to biopsy this right now, I'd see cells consistent, irregular cells consistent with basal cells. And if I turn around, I'd get a squamous cell on this one here, on your shoulder. But you'd never put any sunblock on your shoulders, do you? At least your shoulders, Steve. All right, and unbelievable.
Oh, what are you talking about? This is crazy. It's a great looking tan.
You know what you're going to be like when you're my age? They'll call you Leather Man. They will.
I don't think so. I'll be fine.
Oh, God, look at this.
What?
Look at this right here. If you don't hook my pinky over your old skivvies. You see, this is where your tan line is. And you know what this looks like?
What?
Melanoma.
Melanoma?
Melanoma. That's not a girl's name.
What's a melanoma?
Melanoma is the worst kind of skin cancer you can have. That's malignant.
Thanks.
I mean, it can metastasize.
If
not treated, it can spread throughout the other organs of your body. And then you lie out there in the sun and you kill yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't lie in the sun. I'm saying wear a sunblock, wear a little hat, wear a T-shirt every now and then. Don't just lie there. Look at this. You know what this is?
No idea.
Paradise. Wear your sunblock. Wear your sunblock. Wear your sunblock.
AIDS conscious, but what they're doing is still taking a chance. They're trying to trying to assess their partners without realizing the geometric progression of the risk. For example, they say, well, you know, I'm dating this girl. She doesn't see anybody. She was, recently divorced, but her husband was running around on her. But she, that was the only guy she's ever been with. And I'm guy number 2. No, you're not. You're guy number about 57. See, if her husband was running around, chances are before he got married, he banged 30 to 40. And when he was married, he was running around another 25 to 30. And then, of course, his loving wife was the recipient of those past liaisons. Consequently, when you think you're number two, you're actually number 81. Is that, you see what I'm saying here? So that you can have a visual soga. Consequently, they are advocating the use of condoms, at least until something can be done. And there is a certain men are resisting. They just they find they lose hydraulic pressure at the very thought of the problem is you're not. You're not making it part of the action. You're stopping the action. You're fumbling. You're peeling away. You can't get it open. You can't figure it out. Now, what you need to do is hand it to her and allow her to do the honors while you lean back and make it a part of the proceedings so that instead of losing hydraulic power, you gain. And they've come such a long way. I mean, you know, ruffles have ridges now. And, of course, many guys, you know, I personally, thank God I have. I'm out of that, that. I mean, I have found love and bliss, but I personally, I saw some new ones. You know, I was reading a GQ the other day, and they have finally come out, you know, for the guy that just can't go the common Trojan that we've all carried in our wallets for, you know, eons. They've come out with, at last, designer condoms. Yeah, they're called Sergio Provente.
It's the Grease Man.
Good
night. DC 101.
Tapered, you know, the Italian company.
Now, we got a special guest star. A man you've probably seen in the movies. A man you've probably dreamed about at night. Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome Sylvester Stallone?
No, I'm ready to go.
All right, Sly. Now, you're going to be our guest donator today. We're making a Boston cream pie, and we thought that you might be the kind of guy that would be involved in this, so if you would please, Vanna, bring out the paper plate, and Sly, if you would please, drop trowel.
Wait a minute. You want me to glom on your food?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite so crudely. Yes, sir.
What, are you nuts? I mean, like the dinner table, you want me to stand here and glom on it?
Oh, Sly, we're not.
I thought this was the Hollywood Squares or something, huh?
Sly, no, this is, believe me, Sly, this is not the Hollywood Squares. No, I don't know what your agent told you, but this is cooking with the hydraulics. Now, please, we would like to make the pie, if you don't mind. Let's give Sly a little time, shall we? All right, Sly, go to town, please. Anything yet?
I feel kind of stupid in front of everybody, you know? I ain't used to it, like having an audience. Can we go someplace more romantic, like the bathroom or something?
I'll tell you what, Sly, maybe if we put blinders on you. There you go. Vanna, would you tie a blindfold around, Sly?
Oh, yeah, that's better, huh? Feel like I'm all by myself here. Now I can really get some English on it, huh? Back in Brooklyn, huh? There we go. Hang on, hey. All right, hold that plate, huh? Hold that plate, huh? All right. Oh, Adrian! Adrian!
Oh, that's nice, Sly. There you go. Obviously, you've been on the road a while, huh? Hey, yeah. All right, we have already taken the liberty of pre-baking the crust, so if we would donate that in there, have we preheated the oven to 350? Okay, all right, let's speed it up. For the sake of the action, let's speed it up, please. All right, it's all done. Sly, would you like to do the honors?
What, are you nuts? You want me to eat that? Adrian! Adrian!
All right, well, then, Adrian, if you would please take a little taste and tell us what you think.
Until she flosses, I'll tell you.
All right, well, we'll be back again next week with all the celebrity guests on Cooking with the Hydraulics. Thank you, Sly, and thank you, Adrian. Bon appetit when it's extra sweet.
The Grease Man on DC 101.
Hi there.
Morning.
Yeah.
How you doing, Grease Man?
I'm fine. I'm bold. I'm exceedingly bulky today. Looking forward to back in arms today.
Outstanding. Talking to a lawman here.
I am talking to a lawman. Well, buddy, let me drop trial and respect.
We tried getting a hold of you on that big snow last week.
Uh-huh.
All these people kept calling up the station to say, ask us if there was snow on the road and when we'd get somebody out to fix the electricity.
Unbelievable. And they call the police for that.
All the time.
You mean they jam up the line? I mean, someone could be calling with an axe murderer coming through the front door, and instead they call you and jam up the line with all these idiots. It's unbelievable. It's, they ask you why you drink it. Time to wonder what it must be like. Strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become all over. Well, you climb in your squad car, ready for another day. Yeah, that supercharged Plymouth goes rolling out of the driveway. In a cloud of gravel and dust. Pick up that microphone, you say, HQ, this is 189, I am 1018. You wait for that call, that gun feels good on your hip. Those Bavarian cream donuts feel mighty soothing in your pendulous belly. When suddenly the call you've been waiting for comes over the line. 189, this is HQ. We have a woman in unknown distress. She is apparently a prowler. We can hear her speaking softly. Sounds like she's in great terror at 109 North Blauman Boulevard. You say, yeah, who are you? You jab that pedal to the floor with both feet. You like better than catching some maggot in the process of hurting some defenseless dame. I mean, you go sling it up to the house and you jam on the brakes and just crash right into the side of the house. Yeah, buddy! And then you get a running start across the lawn and you dive through the living room window. You come up on 1 foot and lay down a field of fire in a 360-degree direction. Spin it around just in case he's near you. Fighting the throbbing in your loins, you go up the stairs, and sure enough, you see her. There she is lying there, the phone's off the hook, and she's hobbling. And the sound the dispatcher made for signs of distress was her going, They see you standing there and say, oh, officer, how embarrassing. We have speed dialing on the phone, and we knocked off the phone in the heat of our passion. We must have hit number 7, and that's the number for the police department. Yeah. You grabbed that maggot. I mean, you nearly killed somebody in your sight. I mean, making a fool's game. You grab that maggot, and you haul him off downtown. As you're processing him, the jailer says, wait a minute. First of all, what was going on there? And second of all, why does your nightstick sound funny? You say, just shut up and fuck him. I meant to say smell funny. Did I say sound funny? You said sound funny. All right. I meant to say, why does your... what was the noise? Why?
What did I get?
All right. It's time to... No, to hell with it.
It's the Grease Man, DC 101.
And they asked me why I drink. I mean, Can't you say... I would never go for Clint Eastwood. Even if I got too many gamma rays... Even if we were stranded on a desert isle, there's no way I'd ever rent a Calorama apartment and set up housekeeping and hop around in a tutu singing something like, it had to be you. It had to be you. No other guy could make me so high. It had to be you. Oh, how I feel.
Oh, and you make me squeal.
Oh, and we make love. Stars above, it's just unreal. It just had to be you. Oh, it's so nice when you get a shake. It had to be you. I know that you're a real conniver. You want me to cover that thing with saliva? It had to be you. Had to be you. It had to be you.
Everybody's coming up the driveway. Everybody hide. Raphael, you get behind the couch with the cheese dip. James, you get behind the curtains, okay? And don't let them hear the rattling of the daiquiris, okay? Okay. Bobby, uh-huh. Yeah, you just wait in the kitchen, okay? And I'll just stand here like nothing's happening, right? Okay. Let me light a Virginia Slim extra long, extra mild, extra menthol so he thinks I'm just a normal time around the house. And then when I tell you, everybody else surprise, okay? Nobody make a sound. Nobody even
surprise! All you, okay, everybody come out.
What are we doing with this house full of deviants, punk?
It's a birthday party for you, kids, and it's another birthday. Look, we made a big bowl of cheese dip for you.
I hate parties, punk.
But we worked hard on it. We worked very hard on it. Look at this. Look at this big jar of daiquiris we got for you. Oh, that's nice. Just shoot the whole place up. Look at that. Robert's starting to cry. I mean, he worked so hard on it. Look at it. Look at everything I tried to do for you.
Get everybody out of here now, punk.
No, wait a minute. I'm not getting everybody. It's my house, too, and if I want to invite my friends, we always have your smelly police friends over here, playing cards and smoking cigars, getting beer bottles everywhere. Just once I'd like to have some of my friends over here. And we're going to have a nice party for you. We're going to play party games.
I hate party games, punk.
Well, I thought we'd play some, like, pin and tail on the donkey. We bob for apples, or we play charades or something.
Tell you what, punk. Everybody can stay if we can play my favorite party game.
Okay, well, all right, it's your birthday party. I guess you can choose the game. What game you want to play?
Swallow the leader.
Oh, Clinton, that sounds so unsavory.
Welcome to Grease, DC 101.
My joke's here.
All right.
Why did Rock Hudson wear a mustache?
Oh, no. Why?
Come up to stretch marks.
Oh, my God, how brutal, how vicious. How unfeeling of a man.
Rosenthal Suzuki.
Wasn't it cold, Grease?
It was cold, yeah, and I know, you know, we'd had a couple of social drinks, and I didn't want you driving, so we stayed together, and I am a little embarrassed over what happened, because when it came time to turn in, you know, in the guest room, Nene and I are doing some remodeling, and same for the other room, so we had to set up the cot in the master bedroom, and Dex didn't mind sleeping in there, you know, Nene in her nightie and everything, and so we put Dex on the couch, and then about 10:30, 10:45, as we're getting ready to drift off to sleep, suddenly the room got very cold, and suddenly there was an eerie presence that seemed to fill the air, and
gee whiz, Grease, it's cold.
I know it's cold, Dex. There's something I forgot to tell you about this bedroom. And I don't want you to be alarmed, but underneath my bed, and probably he has access to the cot, is this creature.
No!
Yes. Yes!
Yes, Dexter.
No.
It is I, the Toe Monster, the incarnation of all that is evil.
All right, Dex, just lie there. Just pull the covers up under your chin and listen to me. This is very crucial that you listen to me. The only way he can get you is that if you sink one of your feet over the side of the bed. You see, he can't. The rules of the game...
Don't tell him the rules of the game. The rules of the game are that I eat toes.
No, that's all right. You see, he can only eat your toes if you allow your feet to come out from underneath the covers. Now, for example, if you have to go to the bathroom, here's the procedure. What you do is you stand up on the bed like this, and then you leap to the dresser. Now, watch it. It's all right. Watch it. Yeah. Let's have that picture of my mother's. And then, then you go to the bathroom. It's important. It's imperative that at no time tonight do your feet touch the ground.
Or I will eat your toes.
Oh. All right, but then again...
I might not mind a little bit of Dexter toes. Come on, Dexter. You think you're a man? You think you're bold and proud and bulky?
No.
Let me have your toes.
That's an idea, Dex. I never thought about it. What size shoe do you wear? About a 15 or something like that?
No, Grease. Well, come on, go ahead. 13.
Oh, well, it's a 13. Jeez, go ahead, Dex. Go ahead. Let him. Go ahead.
No!
Go ahead. Let me grab it. There you go, Tubbs. A chomp on that big foot.
Does anybody know the Heimlich maneuver?
The Grease Man. DC 101.
In honor of the passage of time, I'll go for the hall closet. And I'll remove the derby.
and the mittens. I'll remove the overcoat. And I'll get the dusty box that houses my vacuum jack. And I just... Sometimes, you know, you have a nice lunch. You sit there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Your baby's at work. I'll break out that bad boy. Now, the new models have Velcro cuffs for that added snugness. Had that bad boy out the other day and sat back, flipped through my National Geographic. Next thing you know, buddy, I am like, oh, Nella! Look at that cuff around him. Got it going. I put it on ultra, which is as fast as you can get it to go. That thing is just like oh, for crying out loud. Let me turn this thing up. I'm coming. Almost literally here. Yeah, hello. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. This is no, I don't want to buy any of that. Take a hike. Leave me alone, will you, for crying out loud? See, where was I? Adjust for ultra reset timer. 5 minutes. Okay, here we go. Hold something and let me hold this overcoat in front of me. Anyway, no, I don't want to buy any firewood. Take a hike, will you? Cry it out loud. Leave me alone. Get a man, just have a little moment. Peace. Hey, yeah. Look at this here. Yeah. Unbelievable, man. All right. I'm just going to let it run. I'm just going to let it run. I think, what the hell, you know? Hello? Yeah, Ma. How are you, Mom? I'm fine. Yes, I'm brushing my teeth. All right. Well, I can't talk right now, Ma, okay? All right, yeah, I'm working on a project. I love you, too. Right. The check's in the mail. Right. Yeah, say hi to everybody on Collins Avenue for me. Would you please? All right, say good son to you too, Mom. All right. No, this is hard. Oh, come back. Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It's an accident.
Grease Man on DC 101.
Sort of the wrong side of the bed this morning. Either that or it's just because it's Monday.
Uh-uh.
I'm sort of down in the dumps today.
What's the matter?
Well, my date didn't go too well last night.
You had a date? What happened? Tell me about it as quickly as possible. First date with a girl?
No.
How many times have you been out with her?
Twice. This is the second date.
And have you closed on it yet?
Not quite.
So, well...
I'm trying to be a nice guy about it. You know how...
What do you mean? Have you made a move?
Well, yeah.
Have you kissed?
No.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't no move yet. That's
right. Give me a break here.
No, wait a minute. You better answer. If you want to talk to me, and I don't have a lot of time, you're going to have to start answering my questions more honestly. I said, have you closed on it? And you said, well, I mean, you have done nothing. You haven't even kissed her. What do you say at the end of the night? Do you say, bye-bye, baby?
No.
Well, did you lean forward? Did you try to kiss her goodnight?
No. This is the first date. This is the first real date. I mean...
Yeah, but you still kiss someone goodnight on a first date, right? Dex, you'd kiss him on a first date, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to think I don't respect her or anything, you know.
No, all right. I'm sorry. All right, just let's you and me talk about it quickly. Okay, so where did you take her?
Where did I take her? I took her out to a movie.
To a movie. Okay, let me see. $4 a piece gets $8. Did you have popcorn?
No.
Jujubes, Coke?
No.
All right, just $8. And then where'd you go after the movie?
After the movie, went back to my house.
Oh, gee, big spender. Okay, and then what about the second date?
Second date, pretty much the same thing, except we went to the park before we went to the movie.
All right, let me give you the first thing you're doing wrong. Never take a girl you don't know very well to the movies, because that's ridiculous. There's two strangers sitting side by side. You never get a chance to talk.
Well, no, I'd met her before.
Well, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. If you're going to go on a date where you want to get establish an intimacy with someone, you don't go to a movie and sit there silently for 2 hours. Go to a restaurant where you can talk and talk about the food. There's a million things you can talk about. The decor, whether or not the waiters are fudge. You know, there's a million things that can come up. And if you're sitting in a movie theater like two zombies staring straight ahead, how the hell are you supposed to get to know her?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, all right. So the next time you go out with her, you take her someplace where you'll talk.
Yeah, well.
I mean, even playing, I don't mean enough to cut down putt-putt, but go out and play putt-putt. At least you got to do something that involves conversation and interaction. You don't want to do something like well, you know, where you're not talking. Okay, so when you taking her out again?
Thursday.
All right, where are you going?
Going down to D.C.
Okay, good. There's millions of things you can do here. You're on the right track. Where are you thinking of going?
The library.
We have so many maggots, we have so many maggots.
We have so many maggots, we have maggots on the line. We have so many maggots, we have so many maggots. We have so many maggots, we have maggots on the line. With no conceivable idea, I mean close, hell, he can't even get to first base. We have so many maggots, we have so many maggots. We have so many maggots, we have maggots on the line.
All right, blessed release.
La, 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 la.
Whitey be geared and eager. 16 in a row. I'm out of here. 5:45 tomorrow, however, we shall shriek anew. Till then, have a nice day. And as we used to say, back in old Mexico City, AMM. First time. Did you think that or not?
You did. I did. I thought, oh, my God. You know, because he was so proud, so bold, and then he was so diminutive. I thought, I thought, dear Lord, please, fix it. And I'll never, never, never. I swear. I did an act of contrition. 50,000 Hail Marys. Genuflected till one arm was overdeveloped like Rod Laver.
And sure enough, the next day, there I was, wailing away. Funny. Funny the little things, huh? Yesterday when I was young. Hey, God. Still remember it, too. Still remember it. I remember everything about it. I remember the color of the bathroom tile. Man. A bottle of Selsun Blue was sitting there on the sink. I remember there were tissues and dental floss in the garbage can as I looked down in the aftermath of my horror and yet delight. Those glory days, they'll pass you by, glory days. Honeymooners was on the TV. I remember hearing it in the background. God. Now look at me. Look at me. There's been a veritable sea of lava. But we all remember those early days. That's why old men sit and grin. They remember. It's 13 minutes before 9 o'clock. As a general rule, they don't, but it depends on how you dance. You see, if you jump around like an idiot, you look like a fool. I mean, no tough guy does that. You got to be bold when you dance. You know, when I dance, I just stare. Of course, yes, I do some duck walking occasionally when I really get half a bag on. But as a general rule, I just stand there. I just stand there looking bulky. I mean, you know, let's face it, will you? John Wayne didn't dance. I mean, you know, can you imagine him? I mean, you wouldn't catch him doing the frug, doing the fish, the swim, the shingling, even the Freddy. John Wayne never would have done those because he was too bold. I mean, he didn't dance. I mean, he wouldn't even square dance. I mean, he wouldn't even consider clogging. And Clint Eastwood would never dance, you know? I mean, Clint Eastwood, can you imagine Clint Eastwood out there doing a twist? I don't care. If he did get a knock on the head. There's no way. Clint Eastwood, you know, like, can you picture the two of us dancing together? Now that is ridiculous. Picture the thought of me in a tutu in a Calorama apartment somewhere, setting up lodging with another man, hopping around and singing, "It had to be you." It's all ridiculous. It had to be you. Can make me so high. It had to be you. Oh, how I feel. Oh, and you make me squeal. Oh, and we make love. Neat stars above. It's just unreal. It just had to be you. For I'm on the go. Oh, it's so nice when you can escape. It had to be you.
I'm in love. And yes, I've confessed. I would have loved you even if I had known you were immunosuppressed. It had to be you. It had to be you. It had to be you. What a goddamn. Well, Clinton, I've got a couple of weeks vacation coming up, and you've got a couple of weeks vacation coming up with the department. Where do you want to go on vacation?
I don't go on vacation, punk.
Oh, come on. Everybody takes a vacation. Let's go on a cruise. Where do you want to go? Jamaica? Bahamas?
If I'm on a cruise, punk, I cruise P Street.
Ah, we always cruise P Street. I mean, let's take a cruise. Let's get an actual boat. One of those Norwegian cruise liners.
All those Norwegians on board yelling at each other. Yogi Bjorni, Yogi Bjorni. Just think of that, Clinton. Doesn't that just make your jeans fit tight?
No way, punk. I'm not leaving my beat.
Clinton, you got to do more in life than be a cop. Just picture. There will be on the, you know, on the love boat. Jack Jones will be there probably, you know, singing to us. Just picture us there.
Oh, exciting and new.
Come on, do the samba with me. Get the mood.
Come aboard.
I don't dance, punk.
Come on.
We're expecting you.
Jill, just move your hips with me. You know, we'll see Gavin McLean.
Love.
We'll see Gopher or whatever that guy named it.
Life's sweetest.
Champagne on deck. Oh, Clinton, think of it. Stolen kisses on the poop deck.
Back to you.
Turn that crap off, punk.
Oh, come on.
The love boat. We'll be a happy
another. You're such a stick in the mud. Come on, move your hiney.
Turn that off, punk, or I'll break it.
Look, I'm determined. We're going on a cruise this year. I've got some travel brochures that I want you to take a look at. You and me together, just think about it. We'll get away, you get away from your beat, you'll leave that stinky Magnum at home. Now look, I want you to look at this brochure from Norwegian Cruise Liners. It's the Sunward 2. Here, take it. Don't throw it on the floor.
Pick it up, punk.
All right, well, let me bend over and get your brochure here. Look at this boat. This is the one I want to take. It stops at San Juan, Puerto Vallarta, Martinique.